Good morning. So I'm so glad I didn't have to read the title. It's a long title. So as a presenter, I need to disclose the following personal financial relationship with the commercial interest relevant to this presentation existed during the last 12 months that I'm employed as a director of health education and cultural linguistic services department at LA Care Health Plan, which actually is a local initiative health authority of Los Angeles County in California. And LA Care is a public entity competing with commercial insurers in the Medicaid and SCHIP markets in LA County. I also want to note that I'll be making references during the presentation in regards to CAHPS and HEDIS, and they're both trademarks of AHRQ and NCQA respectively, and the graphics in the presentation are stock photos that LA Care had purchased, and they have rights through CAD stock. Photos Incorporated. So we have lots to cover. This is an outline for today's presentation. I'll be talking about the learning objectives. We'll also provide you with some background information about LA Care Health Plan. Also wanted to introduce the importance of doctor's advice to patients in practices. We'll be covering the prevalence or assessing the prevalence of health practices that providers practices advice given by providers. We'll talk about the approach and methodology of the study along with descriptive statistics. It's going to also talk about disparities among groups, various age groups along with demographic groups, and we'll be looking at CAHPS quality ratings. We'll discuss with the discussion's findings from the surveys and its practical use. And hopefully we'll get to the very end, which is talking about opportunities moving forward. So this is going to be a long ride, so sit back and relax. So learning objectives. Today we want to be able to describe five fundamental categories of advice that doctors provide to patients on health behaviors and practices, really about and encouraging healthy living. We want to identify categories of doctors' advice that's most associated with patients' self-reported health status. And we want to be able to compare the percentage of Medicaid members who we call receiving information, advice from physicians on diet, exercise, versus those who we report receiving or not receiving such information or such advice. We want to also look at and identify demographic groups. We have information by age, gender, language, and ethnicity, and really kind of seeing which are most likely or least likely to report getting instruction or information around healthy living from their physicians. We want to also describe one indicator of health literacy that's related to the doctor's instructions on health practices, and identify two measures of health survey qualities that are logistically associated with doctor's instructions. Spoiler alert, contrary to the conventional wisdom, patients don't like to be told to change related to diet, weight, and exercise. Our findings have shown that doctors who give advice are getting higher noticeable ratings in our tools that we use to measure that. And administrators may use health education better if they know that it impacts ratings. So the importance of doctors' advice to patients, so a little bit of background information on LA Care, So we are Medicaid, mostly Medicaid health. We have Medicaid members in a very urban area. About 50% of our membership is actually a pediatric population under 18 years old. Majority of our members speak English, and the language behind English is Spanish. About 18% of the Medicaid members in California belong to LA Care, or 3% of our members are Medicaid population in the U.S. We're actually the largest public health plan in the nation. One out of five LA County residents, not Medicaid residents, but residents, who anyone who live in LA County are really LA Care member. We have not only the Medicaid, we have the dual pilot project, those individuals who are eligible for Medicaid and Medicare. We also have special programs. In our county, we have 11 distinctive or threshold languages where we make our information available, literally printing our evidence of coverage and other health plan information in 11 threshold languages, and I have it listed on the presentation. And as you can see, it's quite diverse. Spanish after English is our highest indicated language by members, but we also have diversity among Asian languages as well, like Korean, Cambodian, Cantonese, Vietnamese, Tagalog. And we actually are in an area that is mostly urban and suburban, but we do have a semi-rural region. It's actually a remote, I call it a desert island that's kind of isolated from metro Los Angeles. So this is a perfect segue to the previous presenters talking about physician's advice. The importance of doctor's advice to patients and health practices in daily living. So much of the modern healthcare, and we'll say health plan, is really aimed at activating members to adopt healthier lifestyle, which means eating healthy, exercising, avoiding harmful substances. And so the old adage, if an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, then the health advice from doctors in front lines talking about preventive care is really aimed to modify the behavior so that we would have more of a positive outcome. And in a most modest expectation, the bad news is modifying patients' behavior through education is really not inexpensive. It requires multiple touch points. It would sometimes require high contact, including calling members and patients, and tailoring information sometimes to individual patients. But the good news is that many patients recall their doctors giving them advice on healthier living. So entry into, from Health Town's perspective, entry cost into member and provider education process is fairly low. If we use touch points that are already in place. So for instance, we have member newsletters or provider newsletters. We offer provider webinars on education on various topics. We have websites where physicians can have access to resources, and members have access to member portals where they have access to health education tools, videos, and other resources. And for health plans, tracking the implementation annually using the CAP survey is relatively easy and relatively inexpensive. And there really is likely a synergistic value in health ed if we use it to reinforce other quality interventions. And these are really encouraged. So behavior underpinnings of health outcomes. Healthcare or health plans really focus on patients' adherence to prevention and any well care or preventive health guidelines. We really look at patients' choice and behavior and adherence to really drive the disease process and to really address any treatments related to hypertension, heart disease, diabetes, obesity, and the list goes on. And health plans recently have really engaged patients to be their partners through a document called treatment plan or care plan. And through these documents or relationships, we address diet, exercise, getting adequate rest and sleep, smoking cessation. And for those who are needing self-testing or administering some sort of therapy or including injecting themselves for insulin, for instance, these are some of the touch points where we have an opportunity as a health plan to work with patients. And truly, failure to engage patients to adhere to in these manners can drive outcomes and can really be costly for health plans. So right now, there are various state and federal and nonprofit agencies that are pressing health plans to report on quality measures as well as quality of care measures and quality services measures. These are done through HEDIS for quality of care measures and for satisfaction through CAP surveys. And really the performance of and the outcomes of these measures indicate how health plans can be compensated. In terms of analytical objective, we're going to be looking at the study in terms of members' perspective or recollection of receiving physician's advice on health practices, and to examine the prevalence of such advice to the Medicaid population in a very large and diverse population in urban area of southeast of US. The three areas are, there are three objectives. The objectives are in three folds. One is the inference or the infer the prevalence of such advice among patients recall, infer the prevalence of such advice for different demographic groups, and determine if recalling such advice has an impact on measure of quality of care services. Quality of healthcare services, excuse me. So the study was conducted between 2011 and 2014 using CAP surveys, and there were actually two, one for adult and one for child. And the primary analysis really came from a survey that assessed at the clinician level or medical group level. And back in 2014, it was fielded in both English and Spanish, and the methodology includes mailing of the survey along with follow-up phone calls. And the initial mail-out was a little over 69,000 to 69,000 patients, and we received just over 22,000 surveys back, which was about 32% in terms of response rate, which is really typical. In comparison to a survey that was conducted in 2011 and fielded in August of 2011, again, same methodology, surveys in the same language, and our initial mail-out was just under 50,000, and we had over 16,000 returned, which was about close to 33% response rate. The limitation not that all doctors' health advice questions appears in the survey, and the CG CAPS for 2014 and PAS for 2011 surveys are sampled to represent provider groups, and it doesn't really survey the entire provider network that's contracted with a health plan. And ancillary analysis found that weighted by provider group did not produce systematically different results for primary rating on the survey. So advice coming from doctors. So the actual question reads, in the past 12 months, did you or your child and the name of the provider talk about healthy diet, healthy eating habits, and keeping a healthy weight? And the responses were indicated either as yes, definitely, yes, somewhat, or no. And as you can see, it shows a significant difference here in terms of adult child for 2011-2014. But you could also see that most members recall that providers did give them advice on diet and weight. And in 2011 to 2014, there's been a decline for child in terms of recalling that advice. And the question, though, is this impact because of Medi-Cal expansion, which California had experienced recently, or are more patients using a finite provider network? And as you can see right here, that there's distinct difference here where they don't recall receiving the advice. And if you look at the exercise question, which is very similar, except do you recall receiving advice around exercise and physical activities, the trend is very similar in comparison to the question related to diet and nutrition. Now, looking at the demographics a little bit on diet and exercise, you could see that we have a difference here amongst the adults. And you can see that in terms of ethnicity, there's no significantly differences between whites, Caucasian, Hispanics, or blacks. And then in terms of exercise, you see that there is a difference, significant difference with adults. And if you look at the ethnicities right here, that there is no significant difference among ethnic groups. With the CAP survey, the way it's designed is that there's ratings for single question measures, and it's from 0 to 10, 10 being the best, and it covers all these categories. And the composites in the survey includes getting needed care, which is basically getting some sort of pre-authorization for seeking specialized services, and getting care quickly. This is really to ensure access to speedy urgent care and non-urgent care, and then provider communication along with customer service. And again, patients don't like to be told to change their diet and and to exercise. And what we found is that doctors who give health practices advice are getting higher ratings. And this is something as a health administrators we should really kind of pay attention to, because CAHPS, according to the CAHPS quality ratings, you know, we do have members who are saying, you know, I have heard and I do recall my physician giving me advice. And there's an opportunity to further educate our possibly physicians to talk to their patients. And this is a quality measure, and again, this is a CAHPS ratings. And the significance here is the effect size from small to medium, and indication that doctor's advice may be a way for health plans to improve quality scores. And I'm going to kind of highlight right here where you can see the PSI scores, which is higher. It's all green here because it's notable. It's small, but it's significantly greater amongst the adults for rating of the personal physician category right here. So the effect size for adults are the strongest and are still present for child, and this is related to diet and weight. And this question has to do with specifically linking communication between doctor and the patient. And you can see that in comparison to the previous slide, adults all indicate that they do recall hearing and listening to doctors. So in specific areas like doctor explain things well, doctor answer patients' concerns well, doctor listen carefully, doctor knew patient's medical history. So this really reinforces that strong relationship between physicians and patients. And again, this is another example. Rather than diet and nutrition, this has to do with exercise. And as you can see, there's a similar trend and pattern. Okay, just recapping the learning objectives, fundamentally there's five, and that five in the areas of the categories that where doctors provide to patients health practices and behaviors around healthy diet, nutrition, exercise, getting rest, maintaining healthy weight, stop smoking, and you know, moderate use of alcohol and stimulants. And the second is to identify categories of doctor's advice that's mostly associated with patient self-reported health status. Neither the type had notable relationship for adults. Doctor's advice and health status had a significant inverse relationship with children. Diet, weight advice are slightly more associated with exercise, but neither had a remarkable effect size. Further analysis should control for duration of the time with provider giving the advice and to see if the advice is more noticeable to sick patients, and secondly, if it impacts the perceived health status over time. The third learning objective, we talked about comparing the percentage of Medicaid patients to recalling receiving physician advice on these healthier lifestyle areas versus percent of members who report receiving no such advice. And clearly, three-quarters of the Medicaid members report receiving doctor's advice on diet, weight, and exercise within the past year. However, an alternative form of the question is lower for the quarter, lower percentile. Identifying which demographic groups, age, gender, language, and ethnicities, are most or least likely to report getting information or instruction from doctor on healthier living. And it what we have seen is that adults between 18 and 35 are slightly less likely than adults 56 and older to recall or to report receiving advice about diet, weight, and exercise. And the effect size is small but noticeable. The parents of the pediatric patients report slightly less in recalling such advice in comparison to adults, and then children between 0 and under 12 were less likely to receive such advice than children who are older, 12 and older, and under 18. Adult women were slightly less likely than men to receive such advice, and racial differences were really not notable except among Hispanic children. Whose parents were slightly more likely to report getting advice and exercise compared to parents of other age categories, such as Caucasians and members who don't state their race or ethnicity. The ancillary analysis was done by contracted plan and by clinical setting serving Medicaid members, and no significant differences were found by contracted plan. The independent safety net clinics were slightly more prone to give advice than county clinics or any commercial clinics. Objective 5 talked about describing one indicator of health literacy that's related to providers' instructions on health practice, and reporting that doctors' advice on healthy living could potentially impact patients' awareness that such advice should be routine. And if the measure is affected by recall bias, then the recall rate implied that knowledge hence indicates some degree of health literacy. The sixth objective was to identify two measures of health service qualities that are logistically associated with doctors' instructions to patients on healthier living. And doctors' advice on practices were positively associated with CAHPS survey. And this is the measures used for NCQA accreditation. So if you are part of a health plan, then you're very familiar with this. Two CAHPS survey measures had notable associations, particularly for adult members, rating for personal doctor and provider communication. The effect of was a psi of 0.3, which was on the high side, and the impact of personal effect proxied by some. The result basically was meaningful because the percentage was about 3 to 5% higher in a favorable category. Oops. And the caveat is that associations does not imply causation. The effect may be mediated through unknown factors, and the memorable advice given not by transferable skills to doctors who lack it, and changing doctors' behavior might be challenging. The other is that the effect might be collinear and has not, hence, not fully additive across all measures. So talking about our findings from our study, it is fairly common that doctors do talk to their patients, and even to even in the Medicaid setting. The significant difference were found among the demographics group. The effect size was really small, but it does indicate that they are receiving information from the providers. The only disparity that we did find, where psi was over 0.1, was for younger adults, and that was for those who were 18 to under 36. Which really suggests that advice on health practices is delayed and health effects are manifested. There are two questions, which is around diet and exercise, were strongly correlated, which means that the questions can be more effectively. And I think my time is running out, so I'm going to try to get to the bottom line here, which is practical use and findings. Basically, members do recall receiving information from the providers, and there is a strong norm that exists, and we should really use the environment to encourage the social norming technique, and I'm going to leave it up to you to do a little bit of homework and research on some of the principles there, but really kind of looking at what's really actionable moving forward. You know, what does this mean, and what does information tell us? What it can do for us, for those especially who are health plan administrators, there really is an opportunity, especially in an environment where there's lack of resources or limited resources. We can leverage existing mechanisms, because there are mechanisms that are in place where providers or health plans communicate with providers. And it's really best to use those leverages, like provider newsletter, and in there, including information about current trends or any available plan resources. For members, reaching out to members, because educating them on some of these guidelines is helpful, and encouraging members to communicate with their providers, and all this information could be included in member newsletter. And lastly, I'll just highlight the company and the organizational website, any community website, member web portals, any place where they could actually receive information to enable them to have skill sets to make those changes. So I just want to acknowledge my colleague, Ray Starr, who was key, instrumental in the study and also in the development of the presentation. And he is a senior survey data analyst, and that's the conclusion of the presentation.